Our scriptures for today can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1890. And we're going to be reading 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 17, titled Suffering for Doing Good. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God.
Thanks, Debbie. Now, as long as you got them Bibles in your laps, you might as well turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, page 1568. I'll be reading verses 14 through 32. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. Well, a man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generations, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, How long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire and water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us. Help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him, and he never into him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, Why couldn't we drive it out? He replied. And he replied, This kind come out only by prayer. Well, they left that place and they passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. And he said to them, The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. This is God's word. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you provide for us. We thank you for the words. We ask that you would open our hearts and minds to it as we study it this morning, as we learn together. Help us to believe in our unbelief. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, take out your hymnals. This is where we're going to start. Page 14, the little 14, it's the Apostles' Creed, traditional. I want you all to stand. And those of us that are Christians, we're gonna tell each other what we believe. So page 14, the Apostles' Creed, traditional. If you would join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come and judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now we have through that. Let's go on. Let's look at our scripture today. So if you remember previously, if you had read what happened before this, Jesus was up on a mountain and he was transfigured. And he had three disciples with him. He had Peter, James, and John were with him. And when they're up there, so Jesus is transfigured, Elijah shows up, Moses shows up, Peter's got a bright idea, says, hey, let's build three tabernacles and we can all stay right here. Well, Jesus, he wouldn't allow that. He said, nope, we got to go back to the real world. And as I thought about what was going on here in this whole story, I thought, you know, there's some real truths here that we all need to recognize. That often if we don't take the time to study the scriptures, we don't recognize the truths that he's really given to us. So I found five that I want to really look at today. The first truth is, starts right off in verse 14. If you read verse 14, it says, so when they came to the other disciples, well, the other disciples were down in the valley. So they had to come off down the mountain. And Jesus taught them this simple truth. You can't always stay on the mountain. You have to come down. We can never stay there. We have to leave. I think about this, you know. Sometimes we get in that nice place. We feel so warm and cozy. How many of you get to stay there your whole life? Come on, Marcia. You live with Jim.
I love my sewing room.
You know, you think about it. Think about when you first met Christ and when Christ first came into your life, and God really revealed himself to you. And what a wonderful feeling that was. Do you have that all the time? No. We have to come back to reality, don't we? We still live in this sinful world. That's the first truth that Jesus taught to his disciples after the transfiguration when they came down the mountain. Because what happened? They come down, and what do they find? They find disciples down there. The rest of them, well, they're arguing with the teachers of the law. There's a big argument going on. There's a crowd surrounding them. And it's like, what's going on here? Didn't the disciples say, well, you see, we got in this little dispute probably with the teachers of the law. And just then a man pipes up and he says, wait a minute, Jesus, I can tell you what's going on. And then he begins to tell them about his son, don't he? Tells him how his son had convulsions, how he'd be thrown to the ground, how he was tongue-tied, how he couldn't speak, how he probably had problems even eating. He's going to waste away because he had an evil spirit. And he tells Jesus, he said, now I came here to see you, but I brought my son because he needs this healing, but you weren't here, so I asked your disciples to do it, and they couldn't do it. Didn't happen.
And so, of course, the teachers of the law are there, and they're the disciples are saying, well, we know that he is. We just, for some reason, it's just not happening. They couldn't explain it. So they get in this theological argument, probably. So by the time Jesus gets there, I'm certain this is a heated discussion going on. This crowd surrounding him. And he's got to be looking at all them, disgusted with the whole bunch, saying, oh, you unbelieving generations. How long shall I be with you? There's times when we do things in our lives, isn't there, when God's got to be looking down and saying, unbelievers, how long are you going to put up with this? Understand? Isn't that the way it looks to us many times in our lives? And I look back at these verses, and I think when it comes in verse 19, he says, so bring this boy to me after this guy is speaking to him. Guy, he brings the boy up to him. And so now he's saying, if you can, Lord, can you heal my son? I'm certain Jesus is still in this frame of mind of kind of disgusted with his disciples. He's saying, if you can? What do you mean if I can? Can you imagine Jesus saying, if you can? Do you believe in me or not? If you can. Of course, Jesus then gives them the second truth we really need to look at. He says, all things, everything is possible for those who believe. Everything is possible for those who believe. Do you believe it? It's the truth. Everything is possible for those who believe. So anyway, this guy says, okay. He brings him his son. And Jesus, to his son, and he's looking at this guy, and this guy's thinking, okay. He looks boldly, he says, I believe. But help me in my unbelief. Don't we all need to pray that? I believe, but help me in my unbelief. See, he didn't come there just looking to be healed, have his son healed, have the spirit there. He came there for two reasons. Jesus healed both of them. He helped heal him in his unbelief. And he has a physical healing in his son. Man went away happy. Had to. He had to go away happy. And I believe it changed his life. And that's the third truth we need to look at. The third truth is if we believe, it changes how we behave. Ever think about that? What we believe changes how we behave. Imagine now, if you didn't believe in gravity, would you get out of bed in the morning? Would you put your feet on the floor? But we believe in gravity, and it drives us to how we behave, because now we know we're going to get up, my feet's going to hit the floor, maybe cold, but my feet's going to hit the floor, and I'm going to be able to move on. Why do we look both ways before we cross the street in front of the church here? Well, we just happen to know that, you know, iron and steel, when they're moving at 60 miles an hour, definitely going to hurt you. So we naturally, you know, automatically, because we believe it, look both ways, don't we? I mean, we can apply this to lots of places in our lives. I'm thinking of marriage. So now if you think of your marriage, that's your wife, and you believe your wife is faithful to you or your spouse is faithful to you, you don't think anything else about it now. But if you were to believe that they were unfaithful, now you wouldn't be able to think of anything else now, would you, in your life? That's what it is to believe. Because what we believe changes our behavior. It regulates it. So that's the fourth truth. So if what you believe changes your behavior, so if you believe something is hopeless, then it is definitely hopeless. But if you believe something has hope, it has many possibilities. If we believe in something that's hopeless, it remains hopeless. But if we believe in something, hopefully, it has possibilities. That's what Jesus taught this man. That's why I really admire this guy, because even though Jesus was having a bad day, seemed like he was scolding his disciples and the teachers of the law and the crowd and everybody else, and when he finally tells his story and comes to the man, he gets a little bit of a sharp tone from Jesus. But yet Jesus gives him hope. And this man had the courage to stay there. Why do you think he stayed there? Because of two words. I believe. I believe is what made him come looking after Jesus, looking for Jesus with hope. Maybe I believe is what made him stay there. Even though the disciples couldn't heal his son, even though they were arguing and they're in the midst of this crowd, those two words stuck out in my mind. I believe. Or how about, I believe because he was the Son of God. Okay, so we all stood up today. When I first started, what did we say? The Apostles' Creed. What are the first two words? I believe. I believe. So what does that mean to you? Let me open it. I got it written down here. So the first one, it says, we said, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Do you really believe in God? He's God the Father Almighty. Do you really believe this? Does it change your behavior? You need to ask yourself that. Did it change your behavior? When you come to the knowledge of that. Do you believe he was the maker of heaven and earth? Do you truly believe it? Or are you just thinking? Remember last week we talked about, so what do you have? If you're at a diner, and what do you order? We all know what we ordered. But did we believe it was going to show up? Do we believe in it? Did it change our behavior? That's what the real truth is. That's why we read the Apostles' Creed, isn't it? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost? This is a kind of a far-fetched idea, you know, isn't it? We don't think of children being born that way, do we? This is what the Bible says. This is what his word says. This is what we are to believe, and it should affect your behavior. Because no matter what we believe, it changes our behavior. So if we truly believe this, it will truly affect us. If we think about it hopelessly, it's going to be hopeless. But if we think about it in a positive light, it all of a sudden has this possibility of being able to help us to believe, help us to change in all that we do. I mean, we spoke a lot of things in the Apostles' Creed where he says, where I believe. But do you really? You need to take the time to go through that. Look that closely. It's only 100 words long, and yet it gives you everything that you believe in. I think of a story that a pastor told, and he said, I got a phone call one night. He said, this woman's on the phone. It's Saturday night. It's late. And she calls up the pastor, and he answers, and she says, Pastor, what do I believe? Well, of course, the pastor, he's a little confused and thinking, what do you mean, what do you believe? He says, I need to know, what do I believe? He says, well, why do you want to know that? He says, well, you see, I'm at this party, and we all got talking about our different religions. Well, there's a Jewish woman here, and she told us what the Jews believe. And then there was a Roman Catholic. He told us what the Roman Catholic believed. He said, and these things are all a little bit different. And then she goes on, and then there's all these other people, these Muslims, and they're telling us all what they believe. He said, I think I was the only Protestant there, and I didn't know what to say. So what do I believe? I think she came to church sometimes, and instead of having a confession of faith, she had a confusion of faith. But too often times we all get there, don't we? We don't know what to say if we're confronted. That's what Peter wrote to us in verse 15 there, when he said, always be prepared to tell somebody else what you believe, what you have hope in. And we can do that because of one thing. Because in verses 28 and 29, when Jesus had a chance to teach his disciples, he said, they wanted to know why they couldn't have the sea spirit leave and why Jesus' presence was there. And he says it because it's only through prayer. Well, sometimes I'm certain they must have misinterpreted that, but it's only through God, right? Because prayer is powerful. Everything is possible to those who pray and believe. It's that fifth truth. Everything is possible because prayer is powerful. So every Sunday when we come here and we recite the Apostles' Creed together, which we're going to do again, because I want it to impact each and every one of you. Because of these five truths we've learned today. But you can't stay in the mountain. We have to leave it. Return to reality, don't we? Everything is possible for one who believes. If we approach anything in the spirit of hopelessness, it makes it hopeless. But if we approach anything in the spirit of faith, it really makes it possible. What we believe does determine how we behave. And prayer is possible. So open your hymnals one more time to page 14. I don't want any phone calls in the middle of the night. Ask me, Pastor, what do I believe? We're all going to know this. And most of us have said this enough that we know it already by heart. So I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to hell and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, help us this morning. Especially help us when we pray, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. We all have this problem. We all pray for this kind of healing. Help us today, throughout this week, so that we might know what we believe, and that we believe in you, Father, and that it will change our behavior. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.